A very good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ and friends. We are still in festive mood, well, at least some of you. I know most of us have gone back to work since the third day of Chinese New Year, which is Thursday and Friday. And nonetheless, the Chinese celebrate the New Year, the Lunar New Year, for 15 days, and today is the sixth day, I believe, sixth day of the Chinese New Year. There are many celebrations going on, and last night, Marsiling CC has a big Chinese New Year celebration. They invited the pastors and our OM to go, and so three of us went, our OM, myself, and Pastor Nathan, and dinner was supposed to start at 7, but you know this kind of function don't start punctually, right? So about 8:15, after the VIP came, and he is Mr. Lawrence Wong, the Minister for National Development, Second Minister for Finance, as well as Mr. Zaki Mohamad, Minister of State for National Development and Manpower. And so we were there because we have written to Mr. Zaki before for help to find a place to relocate the church. And you know that Marsiling has been, in a sense, quite blessed if you're living in Marsiling area, because even our first female president comes from this ward, Ms. Yalima Halima Yaakob, our first female president, who was formerly an MP in Marsiling Ward. And so we represented the church because, you know, the encouragement of the government today to engage the community and also to foster religious harmony amongst the various religions in Singapore. And of course, we were there basically in a sense for PR, you know, in that sense, to do some PR for the church, because our lease, when it ends in 25 years, a lot of considerations will be put up. And we want them to know that new life exists. New life is represented, and in future, hopefully, we can do something more besides our kindergarten to engage the community, and that will very likely help in the extension of our lease. So, younger generation, take note, because that will be your challenge in 25 years. I'll probably not be around by that time, when the lease is about to be renewed. So we lay the groundwork for the future generation. We hope that a little thing done like this will go towards helping the church move forward if the Lord tarries. Now, because this is Chinese New Year period, I thought that I should pause my series on 1 Corinthians. And instead of talking about fighting in the church, to sue or not to sue, in 1 Corinthians 6, we should talk about something more appropriate for the festive season. So I'm going to speak to you this morning on desiring God's favor. Desiring God's favor, and our text is our memory verse this morning, Psalm 5, verse 12. I don't know what Chinese New Year is like for you, but for me, when I was young, I used to look forward to Chinese New Year. Now, I'm a kampung boy. I grew up in a village that is no more in existence like many villages today in Singapore, because the government has taken over the land. In Chai Chi, there was a village, and now that place sits the Institute of Education. And that was the kampong that I grew up in when my parents moved to this place when I was about 3 years old, 2 to 3 years old, started walking. And I knew that I still can remember very vividly this kampong, because on the first day they brought us, their children, I fell and hurt myself, bled. I could still remember up to today. Not a very good experience for a start, huh? To move to your new home in a village. But after that, I had a lot of fun. A lot of fun in the village. I really pity my children and all of the younger generation today. As a child, I really had fun. I play a lot. Now, I do my study also. Huh? So, I'm not encouraging you to have fun and to neglect your study, young people. But I do both, although more on the fun, to be honest. All right? So, I didn't do as well as my parents would desire it. But that's kampong life. Everybody run around and play. Who stays at home and read and study? After school is all playtime, you know. Who cares about homework? I think there was no homework then. Teachers were also quite sinang, I think, at that time. All right. So I grew up in this village until about secondary 3 or 4, and the government came in and said, we want to acquire this land and develop it. So we were all chased out of this kampong and moved to a rental flat. A 3-room flat, and 8 of us squeezed into this little rental flat. My dad was very poor at that time. My mother had to come out and help do some sales, selling to the Indonesian old clothings and all that. And I remember when I was in Sec 1 and 2, I used to help her. All right, carry those bundles of clothings. My sister helped her to fold and to check what is good, what is not good, and things like that. But those were days of fun. We still enjoy. We enjoy those days. And Chinese New Year was a period where there is what I feel we don't have today. The Chinese call it qi fen. All right? Today, I think we lost that qi fen. When I was young, we went out Chinese New Year playing with firecrackers. Yeah, we would light firecrackers on our finger and throw, you know, and we frighten people, our friends, very naughty, yeah? And we go around, you know, being mischievous. But that was a lot of fun, and that's how we built friendship also with our kampong children during our childhood. And Chinese New Year was a noisy, noisy, joyous period. And I know that my parents, though they were poor, during Chinese New Year, they never failed to buy us new clothings. And I look forward to that, because once a year we will have new clothes to wear, new pajamas even. Today we don't wear pajamas, right? We just put on a singlet, shorts, we go to sleep. Some don't even sleep with a shirt on because the weather is so hot today. And I grew up with these things embedded in my mind. And as I got married, had my own children, as the Lord blessed, I passed down some of these practices to them. Every year I buy new clothing, right, for my children. Now, when they grow older, they don't want you to buy clothing for them anymore. You know that, right, parents? So when they were younger, you know, I could still look forward to buying clothing for them, but not when they were older. And those were the things which I think means something. It's meaningful. But now that my kids are all grown, society has changed so much, I felt that no, the qi fen for Chinese New Year is more or less gone. After the first 2 days, relatives come and pioneer, and my mother is still around, you know, and things like that. It's over for me. Chinese New Year is like done, you know, after the first 2 days. And then you go back to work and so forth. So, while young, a lot of fun, very playful, and I also learned a lot from my parents and also from my friends. Unfortunately, some of the things I learned are not good things, which I have to relearn when I became a Christian during my JC years. And as the Chinese saying goes, you know, 活到老,学到老. I'm still learning. I hope you have not stopped learning as well. And we need to keep on growing closer to God and learning from different experiences as we go through the transition of life. Now, before I go into the main message, I have one more thing to say. And that is, some people are not comfortable celebrating Chinese New Year because they associate some of these Chinese festivals with certain negative connotations because of certain practices carried by the Chinese. For example, I remember when I was very young, I was still a child, on the 8th day, I believe, or 9th day, now I can't even remember the exact day, there was always this prayer, big religious worship to, they call Ti Gong, correct? Some of you older ones will know that, right? And that is the day where you cannot sleep at night. I don't like that night because got to stay up until 12 a.m. They have to worship exactly, you know, when the morning dawns at 12. All right, that is, of course, religious. And because of this, some people have written off totally our Chinese tradition and culture. But I want to share with you that I have a different view. All right, I think though we are Christians, we are still Chinese. And China may call us Hua Qiao, overseas Chinese, not real, real Chinese, you know, born in the land of China. But we are still Chinese, whether overseas or not. And therefore, there are certain traditions, culture, you know, that we can still maintain so long as they do not contradict the values and the practices of the Bible. And this is something that we have to learn to distinguish because it is not an easy task for some people to do that. And I want to recommend to you, because today I won't have time to go through some of these customs, traditions, and festivals, there's a book very well written by an author called Daniel Tong, T-O-N-G, Daniel Tong. He has a new edition. I used to read his old edition. He has updated a lot of things and included new things that have come in, like TCM and so on. And some of you may have questions with regards to different festivals, you know, like the festivals of the living or the dead, what about traditional Chinese medicine and things like that, all right? So this new edition, called A Biblical Approach to Chinese Traditions and Beliefs, revisits the age-old dilemma many Chinese Christians face. And our author examines various cultural practices and beliefs and provides guidelines so that Christians will be able to live their faith to the fullest while maintaining their heritage. So we may become Christians, but we do not lose our Chinese heritage. We are still Chinese. Now, I tell you this is important because when I first became a Christian at age 17, my mother told me this, don't go and take up the Western religion. And they think that they lost a son if he becomes a Christian. We lose our Chinese heritage. We adopt the Western heritage. No, that's not true. All right? We can become Christians and still maintain our Chinese heritage. But we need to distinguish those things that are superstitions, religious worship, from culture and heritage. And this book helps you to do that. If you have questions with regards to all the Chinese festivals, I would recommend you to get a copy of Daniel Tong's book, A Biblical Approach to Chinese Traditions and Beliefs. Just give you a very simple example. Before I was a Christian, we do spring cleaning. I still do, not as passionate now as before, you know. And my mom, before she was saved, used to say, cannot sweep on Chinese New Year Day. Don't sweep the floor. Why? I ask. You are sweeping all the good luck out of the house. That's a superstition. All right? So because of the superstition, do we stop spring cleaning? I think no, we can still spring clean, but we do not believe. I vacuum my house after the guests come. All right? Now we don't use broom and pans, we use vacuum, high-tech equipments, and mop the floor when the guests all leave because dirty already. So I don't care whether this with regards to this superstition, I sweep, I clean up the house on the first day, second day, Chinese New Year. You see? So distinguish between superstitions and what is culture, heritage. Things that are good that we can keep. All right, so with that, I'm going to move on. So when I was young, I was taught and I was fascinated by the Chinese zodiac animals. And I even memorized them. Can you memorize the Chinese zodiac animals? Those in my generation. Do you know that in the coming budget speech, Mr. Lawrence Wong told us last night that there will be a Merdeka package. All right, and that package is for people who are not of the pioneer generation, but the next in line, 60 to 69. And he asked, who is in the age group? I raise up my hand. Because I'm in that Merdeka generation. Some of you are. So I don't know what the package is going to be exactly, but I think we will have something from the budget speech that is coming up. What did I say budget speech for? I got distracted. Now I'm tired. I left the place about 10:30. I was there at 6 something, and then I stayed until 10 past 10:30, drove back home, and wow, it was a really tiring evening. Anyway, yes, Chinese zodiac animals. So I learned to memorize it. And those of you in the Merdeka generation may be able to do so. And I do that in Hokkien. I don't know whether it's my mother who taught me. And this is how it goes. For those of you who understand Hokkien. It chi, ji gu, sa ho, si to, go ling, lak chua, chit be, bui yu, gao lang, zap gui, zap it gao. What's a 12? Zap ji tu bu tui lang zao. So I find it very fascinating because I always use that to disturb my sister. Right? Of the 8 of us, my parents and the 6 siblings, you know, 6 of their zodiac signs are there. When my kids were born, 9 of the zodiac, they were born in those years of the animals. All right. Now I don't believe, of course, in all the, you know, just like your Aries and the Western star signs and all that. I don't believe in all this, all right? Associated with certain character trait and things like that. I don't believe it at all. But I just memorize it for fun, you know? And I disturb my sister because my last, second sister, born in the year of the pig. And if I'm not happy with her, I would say, Chap ji tu bu tui lang chao. And of course, she get mad. With me. So you have the red, the ox, the tiger, the rabbit, the dragon, the snake, the horse, the goat, the monkey, the rooster, the dog, and the pig. And this year happens to be in the lunar calendar, the year of the pig, as you should know by now. How many of you born in the year of the pig? 1, 2, 3. I won't disturb you with that song, don't worry. Okay. I think recently, before Chinese New Year period, there was an article by Jen Lee posted concerning some personalities that were born in the year of the pig. And it caught my attention because our minister mentor, the late minister mentor, Lee Kuan Yew, happens to be born in the year of the pig. And that article contains some very interesting things about pigs, characteristics of those born in the year of the pig, which we usually do not associate, all right, with a pig at all. Even Joseph Schooling, I think, was born in the year of the pig, the Olympic winner for our country. Characteristics like altruistic, honorable, a homebody, and more, all right? And it was said that perseverance is also one of the traits of a pig. And when they featured all these great personalities, including Mr. Robert Kwok, you know, they tell certain things about their character, their personalities, which seems to point towards, you know, these qualities of people who are born in the year of the pig. Now, these are very general things. I think a lot of things can be very true if you put it in a general way. Anyway, just as an introduction, you know, we usually don't associate, as I say, traits like altruistic, honorable, and so on with a pig. I have very bad experiences as a child with a pig. Because every day when I go to school, I have to climb up a hill, and passing that hill to the main road, there's a pigsty. You know, no alternative route, only one way. Bo pian, no choice. Every day you got to go up, down, at least twice when you go to school. And every time I have to learn to hold my breath when I pass through that pigsty. And when you lose your breath, oh, it is really awful. You could get nauseous and wanted to vomit, you know. And I cannot understand how people could rear pigs. But I think we should be thankful. Otherwise, we wouldn't have barbecue pork for Chinese New Year and all the good stuff to eat. And so, what we usually associate with this animal are negative connotations, isn't it? We think a pig is greedy, always jia jia jia. You know, or lazy, so lan, gen tan. Or we think, because we look at the pigs wallowing in the mire, enjoying the mud and the dirt, we associate pigs with being dirty, smelly, you know. No point giving them a shower or a bath, because when they see a mud pool, after you clean them, straight, they'll run into the mud pool. So, zhang, smelly is called what? Chou. And finally, some associate the pig with being what? Lewd or lascivious. Sir. You know, sir. Sir lang the sir. All right? And this is because it's popularized by a series in the TV called Journey to the West, where this guy played the character of Chu Pa Jie. And he is a very lascivious and lewd character in this. And of course, the pigs will protest. That's no pig, Chu Pa Jie. Anyway, so these are the negative characteristics we usually would associate with the pigs. But of course, there are different views. If you read some of the articles about each of these zodiac animals. But just for interest, just for interest. Okay. Now, during Chinese New Year, I'm sure all of you here receive greetings from friends and relatives, and I'm no different. I receive quite a number of greetings by WhatsApp during the Chinese New Year period. And some of the greetings I'll show you, and then I'll get to my point, are greetings like this: Happy Chinese New Year. Again, Happy Chinese New Year, and there's a quote there: yesterday is a memory, today is a gift, tomorrow is a hope, Let's begin New Year with faith, love, and peace. Wishing you all the best. Happy New Year. And then there's a Chinese member who sent me this. I could read most of the words, but not the rest. But fortunately, another greeting came which actually interprets this greeting. All right? And they have similar verse, at least part of it, which says, may God give you heaven's dew and earth's riches, an abundance of grain and new wine. Other greetings include this, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Taken from 3 John 1, 2. And then there is another greeting, Meng Fu. 新年蒙福, blessed Chinese New Year, blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out, Deuteronomy 26, verse 6. And these are things we share, and we wish each other. We call it well wishes during this period. None of us go to, somebody's house, and instead of saying happy Chinese New Year, we say unhappy Chinese New Year, right? That would be so inappropriate and rude to do so. So these are the well wishes that I think you may have received as well. 主爱满天下, 心恩赐四方, 对吗? Roughly lah. Okay. So my question is, you have received all these well wishes for happiness, health, prosperity, what else? Well, let me list it for you. But what kind of blessings do you desire to have? Is it prosperity, success, longevity, happiness, health, harmony, or forever young and beautiful? What kind of blessings do you desire to have? I share with you one more well wishes, which I think, one more well wishes, which is my favorite. And it is because of this well wishes that the thought came for this message. And it is taken from Psalm 90, verse 17, similar to Psalm 5, verse 12. Praying God gives you a year of favor, full of his unending love. And the verse taken from Psalm 90, may the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Now, in the King James Version, it is may the beauty of the Lord, all right? In other translation, it is translated may the favor. And I think Psalms 5:12 gives it even clearer. Huh? The favor of God shall encompass us as with a shield. So this is my favorite, the favor of God, desiring God's favor. It was sent from Melbourne. My sister, Bi Nian, 跑去 Melbourne with her family. Another sister, also Bi Nian, same time, went to Taiwan. And so my mother was brought to my home. She stayed with us before they left, from the 1st to the 8th of February. And as you know, my mother is suffering from Parkinson's disease. In April, middle, thereabout, she'll be moving to my place because my sister are all exhausted looking after her, and it's my turn, all right, to do so. So pray for me that God will grant us the wisdom and the grace to look after my mother. She is 89, just after this Chinese New Year, 89, reaching 90. So praying that God's favor, all right? What is favor? Favor, according to the dictionary, is approval, support, liking for someone or something. The synonyms are approval, approbation, commendation, esteem, goodwill. Act of kindness beyond what is due or usual. All right, good turn, service, kind act, good deed. I'll give you a simple definition. To favor someone, in short, is to be positively disposed towards that person. And I'm sure many of us have experienced favor from someone or another, isn't it? And you will know what it means to be favored by someone. Even in the family, all right, you may have a few children. Sometimes you see that one particular child is favored over others. Story of Joseph is a very good example. He has the father's favor, all right? The father loved him much more than the rest. So to be positively disposed towards that person. But the implication is that mankind fell out of God's favor because of sin. When God made Adam and Eve and put them in the Garden of Eden, they had the favor of God. But because they disobeyed God's command not to eat of the fruit of that particular tree, and they disobeyed, they lost and fell out of favor with God. And therefore, in Adam, we are all rebels in the eyes of God, and we have become his enemies. As Romans chapter 5, verse 10 says, "For even when we were enemies." So before we were saved, God looks at us and he says, "Enemy, my enemy." Wow, that's how God views us, outside of Christ, you know. But he sent his son to reconcile us through his death so that we can regain God's favor. Now, God's favor, how to get it and how to keep it? I'm going to be very short here, but I want to say first of all that the favor of God cannot be bought. You cannot earn or merit it by your own effort. Now, people can be bribed to give you favor. Isn't it? We see a lot of corruption amongst politicians and in some businesses and all that. Because of what? Bribery, there is favor. The favor is not the person, it's the money, you know, that they are able to receive from you and gain from you. But God cannot be bribed. He is no respecter of persons. Therefore, how can we have his favor? Well, we need to believe in Christ, because we have forgiveness of sin and eternal life only in Christ. The scripture tells us, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And you need to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in order to have God's favor. God can only favor us if we have trusted in Jesus for our salvation. Outside of that, you are under his wrath, not favor. And because of Christ, we have peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I need to rely on Christ alone, not on our good works. It is only because of Christ, for Christ's sake, that we can have peace with God and have his favor. And if you are saved, how do we continue to have that favor? The favor of God, where we need to abide in Christ. We have the favor and presence of God, as Jesus said to his disciples in John 14, 23, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." So you need to love Jesus and obey his word to have continuing favor with God. We will bear fruit to the glory of God when we abide in Christ, as John 5 tells us, "I am the vine," Jesus said, "ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing." How do we abide in Christ? Well, by using the means of grace. We need to read and study our Bible. We need to commune with God, both privately, corporately. We need to worship him on the Lord's Day and in private, and also to partake of the Holy Communion. These are the means of grace God has given us to abide in Christ. And if we do so, He promises we will bear fruit for His glory. So desiring God's favor. You know, the favor of God transcends all of the other blessings. Is it wrong to desire health? No. Happiness, harmony, success, prosperity? Not at all. It's not wrong to desire these blessings, but these blessings are only temporal, and many of them material. The favor of God is for eternity, and it transcends all of these things that human beings desire and can only be found in Christ. And even if you and I are deprived of some of these blessings and we never become rich, right? We may not have good health and so forth. It doesn't matter. As long as the favor of God is upon you, you are blessed, whatever circumstances you are in. Really, we have been living in affluence and shelter for so long in Singapore that we fail to appreciate and understand and realize how important and transcending is the favor of God. So I encourage you, take a mission trip. Go, visit. Minister to those who are poor. They live hand to foot day by day. They don't know when the next meal will come. And yet, for those who are saved, even in that condition, you can see the joy in their faces. And here we are in Singapore, so blessed. We have a shelter over our head, an asset, you know, and money in the bank. Jobs, and then we are not happy and joyful compared to these people who are poor. The smile of their heart and their countenance is because they have received God's favor through faith in Jesus Christ. That is the most precious thing. And therefore, my beloved, as I conclude my message, I pray and wish all of you in this Lunar New Year, a year of favor, full of God's unending love. May God bless you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you that for those who are in Christ, we have received your favor. And help us, Lord, to appreciate what a blessing and wonder it is to have the favor of God upon us. And because of Christ, our sins are forgiven. We have been blessed with eternal life and an inheritance reserved for us in heaven. We thank you that your favor transcends all the material and temporal blessings of this life. And yet, some or many of us have also received all these temporal blessings from you, but help us not to cling to them, because one day they may be taken away. But we know what cannot be taken away from your people is your favor in Christ. So help us to abide in Him by using the means of grace. Thank you for your love for us and the promises of your word. Challenge us this year to know you even more intimately. Increase our love for Christ and a passion for the lost. We pray and ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.